Dr. Michael Roizen.
Dr. Michael Roizen.
You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
This is Dr. Mike Roizen, and we're back. This is the second segment of Podcast 815, and we're going to talk to one of the heroes of natural medicine, one of my heroes, Dr. Joseph Mercola. He's the author of a book called Effortless Healing. Now, I want you to know, I don't ever consider healing effortless, but maybe it is, and we're going to find out what he means by that. But let me tell you a little bit about him. He's obviously a passionate advocate, as you'll learn, of natural medicine, and a visionary who succeeded in implementing much-needed changes to our current health system. He was a family practitioner, is a family practitioner, but he did this for many years before he decided he had to do something bolder and more innovative. And in 1997, long before the internet became popular, he started Mercola.com, which educates and empowers its tens of millions of subscribers on how to take control of their health. That's kind of the same mission we have on You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show, to give you the information so you can take control of you and your family's health and live at the highest quality. Dr. Mercola, thanks very much for coming, and thanks for writing this book, Effortless Healing.
Well, thank you for inviting me. I greatly appreciate it.
Now, let me ask you a couple of questions. Why do you call, it seems to me that one of the problems, if you will, to go back on my question, that we have in natural healing is that most people don't want to change the diet. Most people don't want to manage their stress. Most people don't want to do the physical activity that we would say is a way to their staying well. Why do you call it effortless? Because most people, I think, would call it an effort to do those things.
Well, there's no question it does require some amount of intention to achieve this. But the central issue is that if you engage in these processes, your body is designed to be healthy, and it just goes forward in that direction. It's not designed to come down with disease and require symptomatic treatment with medications and surgery. So I outline 9 different principles, which are really pretty simple and don't involve quite a lot of hard intentional or hard effort at all. Just a direction, an intentional direction to implement them and then activate your body's healing processes. Something as simple as avoiding tap water, which isn't too hard to do. Why do we avoid tap water? Because it's loaded with fluoride, which can impair your body's ability to heal and cause loads of complications, unlike what the American Dental Association says, because it doesn't decrease cavities. But it's also loaded with chlorine and disinfection byproducts and atrazine. And it's relatively simple to implement a strategy to not drink tap water, but that's just one of 9 principles that I discuss in the book.
Now, one of those, part of that tap water, which I'm going to ask you about, the steps is, one of them you say is to put some ice cubes in your water. Why do you put ice cubes in your water?
Well, when water goes to 39 degrees Fahrenheit, it enters the fourth phase of water, and which is the book that Gerald Pollack, who is a biophysicist at the University of Washington, wrote about. And it's otherwise known as structured water. And it retains a great ability to store energy and provide and carry and transfer that energy to your cells. Because, of course, we eat food, and a big part of the book talks about food, like any book on healing should, because that's the bulk of our healing. But when we eat food, we essentially capture electrons from that food, from primarily the fat and the carbohydrates. And these electrons transfer through down the mitochondrial electron transfer train and generate ATP. Well, there's other ways to get energy, and one of them is through sunlight, and another is through structured water. So it's a simple way to improve the energy in your body.
Now, let me ask you another. You say one of the there's an inexpensive way to remove some of the pesticides on non-organic vegetables. What's the simple way or inexpensive way?
Well, the best way is to really avoid non-organic vegetables. And ideally, you'd want to grow them yourself. They're very challenging for many people because they don't have access to either land or the time to do that. But you can grow things inside your home, even if you live in a studio apartment or in a dorm room, by growing sunflower seed sprouts. So, and then the other component is that every year, I think it's the Environmental Working Group comes up with a list of the dozen dirtiest vegetables or foods, primarily the fruits and vegetables, that you should never buy unless they're organic, and then the ones that are relatively clean so that you can purchase them. So, like avocados, a phenomenally healthy food, one of the healthiest foods I think that you can buy. It's actually a fruit, but it's full of good monounsaturated fat, and you don't have to spend or waste money to buy organic avocados because it's such a thick skin. So there's no real other major benefit, and there's really no genetically modified avocados, so we don't have to worry about that. And they're not spraying Roundup on the avocado tree.
And now you also mentioned the three best vegetables to use in if you're going to juice.
Yes. Well, juicing is a challenge for many people, and you know that's sort of an advanced technique. It's not really required, because many people don't want to go through the time, effort, and energy of getting a juicer and the hassle factor of going getting the vegetables and doing it. But if you do choose to do that, it's a really profoundly beneficial adjunct to improving your health. And the key to this is to really have a base of really good. You could obviously put some sweet fruit in there, like a pear or an apple, but that's not really wise when you're juicing, because fruit juice isn't as healthy as vegetable juice, especially when you remove the fiber. So cucumbers and celery tend to be really good. They're full of water and provide a nice base. And then to that, you can add your favorite dark leafy greens, like kale or collards, even dandelion greens is a bit more bitter. And then flavor it with things like a lime, which has virtually no sugar in it, or some cranberries. So those are some simple things that you can use to improve your juice. There's a lot of different recipes, of course, but that's a base that most recipes use is the cucumbers and the celery, organic.
So we're talking with Dr. Joseph Mercola, author, and you can tell from what he says his vast knowledge and incredibly good at telling us about it. Dr. Joseph Mercola does tell you about it, not only on his website, mercola.com, but in this outstanding book, Effortless Healing, 9 Simple Ways to Sidestep Illness, Shed Excess Weight, and Help Your Body Fix Itself. Now, Dr. Mercola, I'm going to keep going on these for as long as I get a chance to keep going with you on it. But you say there's a mistake many exercisers make that keeps them from seeing benefits from the exercise. What is it?
Yes. Well, I think if any of your listeners travel and go to hotels on a regular basis or frequent many different local gyms, they'll know what that mistake is, because they've witnessed it every time they go into the gym. And that is that there's a large majority of the people who are engaging in just chronic cardiovascular endurance activities, which is either on the exercise bike, the treadmill, or the elliptical. So not that that's a bad exercise, but it's not as important as some other factors, which would be missing the high intensity exercise or interval type of training, which can stress where essentially where you warm up, go really hard for 20, 30 seconds, and then you recover and then you repeat that 6 or 8 times. And you don't do that every day, but you do that a few times a week, and that really is a far more efficient and effective way to exercise your system. And then also there doing this indoors, which is really not the way we were designed to exercise. We were designed to be outside in the sun. No question about it. And there's ideally with as little clothes as possible, as reasonably as possible, because you need the sun and your sunshine on your skin. So simply walking outside with minimal clothes, especially if your feet are grounded, because the earth has a surplus of electrons. So when you walk with bare feet on the earth and connect with it, you connect to this circuit. And then if the sun is shining on your skin, which are primarily photons, which are positively charged, you actually integrate yourself into this biological circuit. And if you're walking, you just create this phenomenal opportunity for healing, which doesn't really occur as effectively when you're indoors. And walking is a great exercise. I mean, almost everyone can do it unless they're disabled of some sort, but most everyone can walk, and you don't have to walk that fast. You just have to, walking outside, breathing fresh air, getting the sun exposure is a profoundly effective intervention, and not necessarily just for the vitamin D, because there's other wavelengths, and it's more than 6 months out of the year, there's not enough ultraviolet B radiation to generate vitamin D in the United States for most people. So they're not going to get it, but they will get infrared radiation, which actually will help structure the water in your body and in your cells, and actually help it store energy effectively. So just getting outside. Now, that's hard to do in the winter, I realize that, because you're all bundled up and maybe you got a little sun on your face and that's not going to be too effective. But, you know, for most of us, that might only be a few months of the year. But the rest of the time, you can be outside doing that. And that doesn't cost hardly anything. And that really is effortless, because it doesn't cost anything except for your time. And most people feel a lot better afterwards. So it's not a struggle. So that's, and then it has a magnificent impact on the structures in your body called mitochondria, which actually produce the ATP, the energy currency of your cells, because exercises, just simple as walking, will increase mitochondrial biogenesis, or the body's ability to reproduce these mitochondria and make more energy. And many of us are just struggling for not enough energy. That's a simple, effortless, inexpensive strategy.
Now, a patient this week, I looked in your book and I didn't find this, but so I'm going to ask you about it. A patient this week told me that they had started using NAD, or
yes,
nicotinamide dinucleotide,
right.
Right, as a way of improving their energy from their mitochondria. They felt more energetic. And I didn't know the data on it, so I've looked up the data, and as far as I can only find some animal data. But is there any human data on it?
Not that I'm aware of. David Sinclair, who's a biologist out of Harvard, and has done a lot of research on that, and he's the guy who figured out sirtuin grapeseed extract, resveratrol. But there's a lot of talk about NAD, NAD plus, actually, as opposed to NADH, and he's developed some supplements that do that. But that there's some effective strategies and interventions. Some people think high dose niacin can be useful, but the NAD is relatively expensive. I think it's a few dollars for 150 milligrams or so. So I like to focus on, rather than supplements, especially in the book, we talk about simple strategies to do. They're not related to supplements. Like one of them is getting omega-3. Now, you can get them. Who doesn't know, in terms of National Health, doesn't know about omega-3, animal-based, like DHA and EPA, and DHA being even more important because that's the majority of our brain is DHA as a fat. So you could take supplements. I think krill is the best because of the phospholipid combination, better than fish oil. But even better ways to get it from seafood, but not any seafood, just something, small types of seafood, because they don't have a chance to bioaccumulate dioxins and mercury and PBDs, or PCBs, so all of those. So things like sardines and anchovies and fish roe, that haven't had enough time to bioaccumulate these toxins, can provide the most magnificent source of DHA.
And even algae.
Which your body requires to actually capture sunlight exposure and store this energy again into your water. So if you integrate all these, it's kind of like a puzzle, but if you integrate them all simply and inexpensively, then your body has no choice. It just tends to repair and regenerate and recover from the foolish strategies that many of us follow because we've been manipulated and deceived by all the brainwashing from the pharmaceutical companies on the media and how they've been able to co-opt many of the physicians without their knowledge. I mean, the United States is really one of only two countries in the world, and I think maybe the only country. I think New Zealand I heard that they just stopped it. It's actually legal to sell drugs on the media, on TV, and in newspapers. I mean, think about it. It was illegal when we went to medical school. It was illegal. You'd go to jail if they did that. Now they do it all the time. You can't help watch any major media and be bombarded by drug company ads. So people get confused. They use these dangerous, symptomatic, toxic, expensive strategies that in no way, shape, or form ever address the cause of their illness. And that's one of the reasons I wrote this book, to compile, my website's been around for 20 years. We're the most visited health site in the world for natural health, and we've got tens of thousands of articles, but you can go there and you'll get lost. So I put a book that at the time I wrote the book, it was up around for 16 years, so put all that information, the best of the best, in there to make it easy to read and follow. And the primary editor for that was Heather Jackson, who is
the
from
book
Random
is
House.
Called, she
was,
the book, we should say, is called Effortless Healing. It's by Joseph Mercola, and it is put out by Harmony Books.
Which is a subdivision of Random House. And Heather Jackson was actually Dr. Atkins' editor, so she's really phenomenal. And she's compiled it into an easy-to-read book, which is, she's so did such a magnificent job on it.
Let me ask you a couple more before we are through. You also have a simple, foolproof fermented vegetable and kefir recipes you can make at home. Tell us about that.
Well, it's a recipe, so you can just look it up and it will have all the different vegetables that you can put. But one of the benefits of that is there's an emerging appreciation of the importance of the human microbiome and its influence on our health. And one of the best ways that you can improve your beneficial bacteria is to exclude pernicious foods like sugars and processed foods, which will adversely impact the beneficial bacteria and increase the pathogenic or disease-causing bacteria. So that's the first step. And then you can culture or ferment healthy vegetables, organic, of course, and you do that slowly over a week or so, and that breaks down the food, but it also multiplies all these different types of bacteria, and they can reseed the beneficial bacteria in your gut. Now, you can certainly do it with that with probiotics, and we sell probiotics, really good one, as part of our resources and tools to get people healthy, but it's far more inexpensive and efficient to get it from fermented food.
And the fermented food, I like kefir, I like sauerkraut. Do you have other choices in the book?
Yeah, we describe a number of them. Certainly kefir or kefir is one. That's dairy, and so many people can't tolerate dairy. But yogurt would be another type of dairy. And natto is one that most people wouldn't tolerate at all, but it has the most amount of vitamin K2. Which is a nutrient most people are deficient in, and it's important in the process of developing heart disease and also osteoporosis. So you can take it as a supplement, but it's better if you just get it naturally. And natto has the highest concentration. It's fermented soy, but it's kind of slimy and doesn't smell very good, so most people don't like it.
We've been talking with Dr. Joseph Mercola. The book is called Effortless Healing, 9 Simple Ways to Sidestep Illness, Shed Excess Weight, and Help Your Body Fix Itself. As you can tell, he has an incredible knowledge of medicine and of natural healing, and this is a wonderful book. Let me ask you the one question I have about it, or the one that I have problems with, and that is, the data I have seen on grass-fed beef and egg yolks and coconut oil all show that these seem to increase inflammation. Coconut oil, when I was at NIH in the early 70s, we used it to accelerate brain dysfunction. That is, to cause in animals, not in humans, but to cause in animals dementia quickly so we could study them. Yet, and we don't really have any human data on long-term benefits or hazards of that, but I'm worried that we have gotten the grass-fed beef, the egg yolks, and the coconut oil have gotten way ahead of themselves in their use. What's your feeling about that?
Well, it's hard to respond to that because I'm not familiar with the data that you're referring to, but I can give you some guesses and generalities, because the devil's in the detail like anything. So the first issue is, where did these sources come from? Were they pure? Were they in the case of beef, was it from a confined animal feeding operation that's loaded with pesticides, and the animals were fed grains instead of grass when they were finished? So that's one aspect. And then they're under what conditions were those studies performed? Were they done in the lab? In the lab with fluorescent or LED lights and no sunlight, a total lack of infrared and red spectrum, an excess of blue frequencies that totally interfered with the normal biological mechanisms in the animals that they were studying. So that's another issue, because those foods, if grown properly, are foundations of a healthy diet. There's just absolutely no question in my mind on that, and I've proved it personally. When nutritional ketosis, which I don't talk about in this book, it's my next book, it's coming out in May of 2017, is a profoundly effective healing tool, and I think is reprehensibly negligent for any clinician who's not incorporating that in any patient he's treating for heart disease or cancer. So, and it's obviously, we've only got a few minutes, I can't go into details on that, but that I'm absolutely convinced of that, and I proved it myself personally. I've measured my high sensitivity CRP, and it was like 2 or 3 before I started nutritional ketosis using the foods that you described, egg yolks, grass-fed beef, coconut oil, and a whole variety of other foods very similar to that, and my CRP went down to 0.2.
Well, so there are other ways. Let me go and tell people. Obviously, you have an incredible depth of knowledge of medicine and of natural healing. There are other ways of inducing nutritional ketosis that I'm sure we will learn about in the book. I also am a strong believer in that, but there are other ways than with those items.
Well, with beef, you have to be careful. You can't increase. You can't have a lot of beef. When you have beef, it should be like 2 or 3 ounces. I mean, you can, because excess protein will activate the mTOR pathway, which is an absolute recipe for disaster.
In any case, we have been talking and wonderfully talking with Dr. Joseph Mercola. The book Effortless Healing is a wonderful, wonderful book, a quick read, a beautifully done book in 9 simple ways to sidestep illness, shed excess weight, and help your body fix itself. You've also been listening to podcast 815 of You, the Owner's Manual radio show, radio podcast on iHeartRadio and Radio MD. Please do tell your friends. Download us every Tuesday, a new edition, 7 a.m. Tuesdays Eastern Time, and you can rate us as well. Thanks very much, and thank you, Dr. Mercola, for enlightening us so well. We'll be back next week.